All right, so we've kickstarted this series at the start of March, right? And our theme for March is
much prayer, much power.
Correct. And we are looking at how to pray prayers that don't hit the ceiling, but are actually answered by God. So essentially, we're looking at how to pray effectively. And the most effective prayer is to follow what Jesus has asked us or taught us how to do. The disciples came to Jesus and said, well, Jesus, when you pray, it sounds a lot different to the Pharisees that are praying. So teach us how to pray. And then Jesus said, in this manner, pray. He didn't say, pray this prayer verbatim.
Okay.
He said, in this manner, prayer. So what is he saying? He's saying he's giving us a model, a template of how we should pray effective prayers that essentially God will answer all the time. This is how we need to approach prayer. And we kickstarted it. We've done three parts already. So the first one is our Father. What does our Father presuppose?
So we come to God as his children.
Okay. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
So we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, meaning that we thank him for what he has done in our lives and we praise him for who he is.
Awesome. So that's Psalm 100 verse 4. And then thy kingdom come, thy will be done, or your kingdom come, your will be done. What's that?
We pray for God's dominion to rule over our lives and on earth.
Okay. And then we started looking at how to pray the will of God. So how to really pull the kingdom into a specific area. And there we looked at one of the Pauline prayers in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to 14. And what's the model of praying the will of God?
So we pray that we might know his will, mm-hmm. do his will, and continue to do his will.
I'm so impressed here because, Tabs, you have no notes. No notes. The only paper that's on your table right now is your news bulletin.
Yeah.
Because that's not a part of your heart, you understand?
No.
What is a part of your heart is this prayer, how to pray, and we've been doing that continuously. So today, we're continuing with the fourth part. So after your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we... Oh no. Yes.
Last week.
We did give us this day our daily bread. We've done that. So we're on the fifth part already.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean?
We're praying for our needs.
Mm-hmm. I love that. After we praise God, after we enter his gates with thanksgiving, after we pray his dominion, then we only ask for our needs, which is sometimes contrary to our nature. You know, when we come into prayer, we say, thank you, God. I need this, I need this, I need that. But that doesn't follow the model prayer that Jesus is teaching us. So today we're looking at the fifth part of the prayer that says, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have wronged us, or our debtors, right? And I want to kickstart this one by looking at Matthew 6 verse 14 to 15. Where the word says that, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So we've got to understand that the forgiveness that we want to receive from God, we've got to first give it to someone else.
Okay.
It's part of the model prayer. And when should we do this prayer?
All the time.
It's a daily prayer, right? Because he says, give us this day our daily bread. So it's not a monthly prayer. It's not every time you do assembly. It's not every Sunday in church. It's not once a year. It's a daily prayer. So what is God saying here when he says part of prayer means you've got to sort out your relationships with one another. You can't live in offense. There's another a scripture that says we must not let the sun go down without releasing those who have sinned against us. Don't go to bed with anger. Okay, which means we've got to sort out our issues with one another. We've got to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what the person has done is right. It means that you're choosing to be the child of God that he's called you to be, and you're releasing them, right? And in the same manner that you release someone else, God will release you. Okay, I'm going to throw in some more scripture here because, you know, this is a part in our faith where it is difficult, because we're not talking about, he didn't greet me, or my boss looked at me snucks this morning. I mean, we live in South Africa, guys. We live in a country that has high murder rates. I mean, we're in the top 10 of kidnapping throughout the entire world. Things happen within our nation that are horrific. So you've suffered loss at the hands of violence. Maybe you have been abused, and the Lord is saying to you, forgive them. This kind of reminds me about Stephen. If you read in the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen was being stoned, right, for his faith. He was being persecuted. And I love that he didn't say to God, he didn't pray and say, Lord, vengeance is yours, strike them now. You know, strike them now, kill them all. They don't know who they're messing with. No, he said, please, Lord, please. The sin that they have, that they are doing, please don't hold it against them. He forgave his murderers. He forgave his murderers. Because I know, I mean, sometimes we look at Jesus on the cross because he did the exact same thing, right? He was spat on. They plucked his beard out. They whipped him. They ridiculed him. He was naked and dragged throughout the entire city and hung on a pole as a curse in front of the world. He didn't say, well, you guys will see. When I'm done here, I'm going to get you. No. He said, please, Lord, please, please, please. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. And sometimes we look at Jesus and we think, yeah, but Jesus, you're supposed to do that. Okay, and then Stephen was like you and I. He's a child of God who's got the Spirit of the Lord. And here's what characterizes Christianity like never before. The fact that we can forgive our enemies. The fact that we don't need to hold grudges concerning anyone. Because in order to forgive, you've got to have faith in God. Forgiveness means that you trust God enough to take care of you. And I know I'm touching on some points that might be very sensitive and you're thinking, I'm going to switch this podcast off or switch this radio off. But don't just yet, because God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free from that unforgiveness, that heavy burden that's weighing you down. And if we don't forgive our people or people that have wronged us, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. Here's another scripture, Mark 11, verse 25 in the New Living Translation. It says, but when you are praying, when you are doing what?
Praying.
When you are praying. So this is speaking about specifically prayer. It says, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins also. Right? This is huge. This is huge. It's colossal. We cannot live with unforgiveness. We cannot live with a grudge towards other people. And I mean, I've shared my story before, and it also it affects your relationship with God, because you won't be able to experience the fullness of God while you're holding onto unforgiveness. And this is me in my own life. As I mentioned to you, Tubbs, and all the listeners, that when I was 6 years old, my father left us as a family. And that crushed me. It really, really did as a young person. And it messed me up. It really did. And I had a huge hatred towards my father. And for 11 years of my life, I would go in and out of church. But I never even wanted to relate to God as a father, because I thought, well, if my father did this, what would my heavenly father do this? And I held a hatred, a deep hatred towards my dad. And it was only when I forgave him, I was 17 years old, and I was encountered with my own sin. And this is critical to understand, because sometimes we hold the sin against someone and then we forget that we also need the same forgiveness. So when I was confronted with this word to say, well, God's not going to forgive you if you don't forgive others, I decided that, you know what, because I need the forgiveness of God. I've done way much more worse things as a 17-year-old than what my dad did to our family at that time. And I was holding that grudge towards him. And it's amazing that when I forgave my father for what he had done, I was able to receive the forgiveness of God upon my life. And there was like a huge relief. There was a huge weight off of my shoulder. And now I could really experience the presence of God, His power, His Holy Spirit. I think after I did that, I was actually baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I spoke in tongues for the first time. And it was that breakthrough of me forgiving, coming to the cross and realizing that, hey, I'm just as big a sinner than anyone here. Right? If I was probably tempted with the same things and whatever the case is, I don't think I would have done a better job. Yeah. I mean, where I don't think in my dad's life at his young age he had anyone speaking the word of God into him or in a church environment. He did not have that. So with what he had, he did the best that he could do. And here's the cherry on top, is that God even restored my relationship with my father. I mean, after that, I went to him and I said, you know what, Dad, this is me at 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Went back to him and I said, you know, Dad, what you did to our family, really, it broke me. It broke me, and I am bleeding because of that. However, I encountered Jesus, and I want to let you know that I have forgiven you. Please forgive me as well for holding a grudge. And for the first time, I saw my dad cry. And this was at Menland Park Shopping Center. This is crazy. At Menland Park Shopping Center, in the busyness, it was December, in that festive period, and I mustered up the courage to tell him all of this while we walking in the aisle. And in that moment, he broke down and he cried and he said, you know what? I'm also sorry. Please forgive me. And in that moment, God restored our relationship. Now, I love my dad. He loves me as well. It's not that our families are back together and everything is all great. I mean, there's consequences for actions. But the relationship has been restored. And this is why Jesus says we've got to forgive. So when you come into prayer, the Bible says you must forgive. We mustn't just pray this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen to what you are saying. To the measure that you forgive, it will be forgiven unto you. So I hear a lot of people say, I will forgive, but I'll never forget. Be careful. Do you want God to say to you, well, I'm remembering your sin, I've forgiven you, but I've never forgiven. No, it's the same measuring stick. So how does God forgive? He forgives immediately, right? There's no penance period that you need. When you ask for forgiveness, immediately it happens. So how should we forgive one another?
Immediately.
Immediately. I shouldn't wait for you and say, no, but you must first prove yourself. Should we prove ourselves towards God? No, you don't want that treatment. So he forgives immediately. He forgives limitlessly. There isn't a size. There isn't small sin and big sin when it comes to God. And this is where we trip up sometimes. I can forgive someone who stole my pen, yeah, but someone who stole my husband, we kind of think to ourselves, that's a bit much. But God forgives limitlessly. So I should also forgive limitlessly, right? God forgives countlessly. He says, how much should we forgive? Peter asks, should we forgive 7 times? Mm-hmm. God says 70 times 7 for the same sin in the same day. 490 times. So if I steal 490 times your pen in one day, you must forgive me. You understand? So he's basically saying there isn't a limit. There isn't a number that you can count and say, I've stopped forgiving. Again, you've done this again. No. There isn't three strikes with God. You've got to forgive countlessly. And then God forgives completely, right? So he doesn't remember the sin anymore. And this is why today we're going to do the 5 confessions. And I want to ask you where you are at listening to this right now. If you can, obviously if you're driving, please do not close your eyes. But just become aware of the presence of God right now in your car. And there's some people that you need to forgive. You know, forgiveness is huge. Some people, I'm not saying all, some people, they're struggling with illnesses because of the unforgiveness that you are carrying. Your spirit is not designed to carry this type of pressure. We've got to give it over to the Lord. And there where you are, I just want you to release the people within your life. Release that ex, release that dad, release that person, the stranger that came and violated you. Release them. And there in your own car, in your own space where you're listening to this, just say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I release them. I choose today to forgive them. And it's fine. God is seeing your tears. God is seeing your cries, but he wants to set you free. I know you don't want to go to that place, but you've got to, so that he can completely set you free. And there where you are, I want you to repeat this after me as we apply the blood of Jesus upon our lives. Say with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
Out of the hands of the enemy.
Out of the hands of the enemy.
And brought into the kingdom of Jesus.
And brought into the kingdom of Jesus.
Say with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
All my sins have been forgiven.
All my sins have been forgiven.
Because I have forgiven.
Because I have forgiven.
All those who have sinned against me.
All those who have sinned against me.
Lord, today I choose.
Lord, today I choose.
To forgive them.
To forgive them.
Like you forgive me.
Like you forgive me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been cleansed.
I have been cleansed.
Changed.
Changed.
From all my sin.
From all my sin.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been justified.
I have been justified.
God sees me.
God sees me.
As though I've never sinned.
As though I have never sinned.
And by the blood of Jesus.
And by the blood of Jesus.
I have been sanctified.
I have been sanctified.
Set apart.
Set apart.
For God's kingdom.
For God's kingdom.
And purpose.
And purpose.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. There you are. Just say thank you to the Lord there for what He has done there where you are at. And yes, let go. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that resentment and choose to see the people that have hurt you before through the eyes of love. God has given you a second chance. He hasn't held your sin against you. So we can also pray, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. There's